You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to a bumper day of racing, two cracking cards at Cheltenham and Doncaster highlight the picture. We're also on the fiver sand at Southall, jumping at Lingfield to round off the afternoon picture and then into the evening. We've got all weather action from the Tapita at Wolverhampton. Don't forget an Irish card over at Tramore, so plenty to get your teeth stuck into on Saturday afternoon. And join us from 11:15pm on Racing Radio with Gary Capewell, Lord John Budden and James Norman in the studio to guide you through all of the action. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on this edition of the podcast is Ollie Pimlott. How are you, Ollie?
Yo. All good? Not too bad at all, Samuel, yes.
Very straight.
Winter has hit Leeds this afternoon. It's somewhat chilly here in William Hill Towers today, yeah. But I'm very street. I'm down with the kids.
Yeah, you've had to go for the jumper.
I've had to, yeah. It's not very street. My Gant granddad jumper, really, is it?
But it is warm.
It is warm, yeah.
Not for the faint-hearted tomorrow. 10 hours of racing.
It is. But it's not for the faint-hearted today, as we speak.
Yeah, true.
11:30 till no doubt around about 9:30 at Dundalk this evening.
Yeah, I'm not certain they'll be off to time tonight. No. For the last at Dundalk.
I think I'd definitely be a buyer at 9:05. I think.
Yeah, we'd certainly be going overs on the spread there, Ollie. We'll start with a quick spin through the racing news, though. We'll start with a roundup of Thursday performers. A couple of interesting Willie Mullins inmates went at Punchestown yesterday. We'll start with Min, who's now 4-1 favourite with this year for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. The form in France was a little bit ordinary, to be fair.
Well, only ran twice and didn't win.
Yeah.
But there's been huge market support from it. I think we opened up at 33-1, been smashed into fours. Couldn't have been more impressive yesterday. Obviously, it'd be a point-to-point winner. How strong a form it is, I'm not so sure, but I believe its sectionals were exceptional. If you compare that to Thomas Hobson, who we're going to come to, I believe he was around about 5 lengths quicker between the third last and the finish. He's down than Thomas Hobson. Thomas Hobson brings a decent level of form around about in the 130. So it was a very good performance by Min. He's going to go down the Vautour and Duvan routes, I believe, with the Grade 2 Moscow Flyer and obviously his hurdle at Punchestown on January 9th, the next port, of course. So clearly, he's a very, very smart horse. But as Ruby Wall said, there's so many decent novices that William Mullins has. York's Hill, Bell's Hill, who's a great bumper performer last year, up for review in Tombstone. He's too short, isn't he, now?
Yeah.
If you're on at 12-1, which I think you could have got yesterday if you were quick, if you're on at the huge prices, 33s and 25s, you're very happy. But at 4-1, in a race which is running March, it's a long way away.
Yeah, certainly is. By the same sire as Duvan as well. And he wouldn't... Walk in the Park, I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
Wouldn't have too many, Ollie. I can't think of too many of his apart from Duvan and Min.
Yeah, he wouldn't have many Walk in the Park, but clearly Duvan and Min aren't too shabby.
Yeah. Well, that's enough, isn't it, I guess, if you never size anything else.
Yeah, the majority, we don't see them, obviously, because they're all running in France.
Yeah.
Used to be trained by John Hammond, and Mr. Tabor owned him, Walk in the Park.
A shrewd investor there.
Yeah.
Certainly
he never
is.
Actually won Walk in the Park. Only the 3 starts, and he was second twice. So he himself, as a racehorse, wasn't actually that good, but he's produced two very good horses, so certainly one in Duvan. It remains to be seen how good Min is.
Yeah, certainly is. We look forward to Min going forward, though. You were impressed with Min's performance. I get the feeling you were slightly less impressed with Thomas Hobson, who ran about 30 minutes earlier, Ollie, in the 2.5 mile hurdle there, beating Jetstream Jack of Gordon Elliott's at an odds on price. 6-5, the SP for Thomas Hobson. But I just get the impression you weren't quite as enthused as you were with Min.
His jumping has to improve drastically if he's going to step up to graded level. Obviously, he was placed in a grade 3 last year, but he just doesn't jump well enough for me, Sam, in graded company. It wasn't the strongest of races. Obviously, Jetstream Jack set a half-decent standard yesterday, but I don't think he had to improve on what he achieved last year to win yesterday. And I think Willie Mullins certainly has the flat in mind more than the jumps. He certainly said that in today's Racing Post, that, you know, if he if he doesn't jump any better in his next couple of starts, then they'll probably go down the flat route with him. Expensive purchase for the Richies, $240,000, but we've seen what a good dual-purpose performer is with Willie Mullins, standing trainer all round, so to speak. So I wouldn't be surprised if they gave him one more run, maybe in graded company, try and find a bit of decent ground. And if he comes up a little bit short, I wouldn't be surprised if they stick to the flat with him and aim him at a spring campaign.
As you say, he's got had a couple of decent dual performers over the years. Wicklow Brave obviously didn't quite hit the heights in the fighting fifth, but he's been very effective over flat and hurdles.
Yeah, and of course he's had runners in the Melbourne Cup recently as well. So, yeah, very good dual purpose performance. If he's going to find any, you know, he's a hard man to improve on, John Gosden, but we've seen him do it before, Willie Mullins. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go down the flat route more than the jump route with Thomas Hobson. I think we'll give him one more run, try and find decent ground and see how good he is. But his jumping is still a little bit uneasy for me to back him in a graded race.
OK, then. Ollie's thoughts on those couple of Rich Ritchie horses that we saw on Thursday at Punchestown. A little bit more news now regarding Tom Marquand. He looks set to cap off a fantastic season with a shortlist place for the Young Sports Personality of the Year. He's in the final three. The champion apprentice. Fantastic season, Ollie, and this would be the cherry on top.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic to see him win it. Obviously, he's probably the first jockey to come off the English pony scene ranks. We see all the Irish boys, and they've done it for a number of years. Riding the likes of Dingle, etc. They've ridden 100 pony racing winners before they start, but one of the probably the first off the block to really come from the English pony racing scene. He's from Cheltenham, and he's had a meteoric rise. Really, obviously, he beat Jack Goaty by a couple of winners. He was only four winners fewer than Frankie Dettori all season. So that shows you how good a year he had. He's only 17. Whenever I've seen him, he conducts himself in a really good manner, comes across as a really nice lad. And it'd be great for racing and racing publicity if he could win that title. I think there's a Paralympic swimmer, Tully Kearney, and a gymnast, Ellie Downey, in the ring with him as well. But it would be great for racing. It'd be great for him. If he could indeed win that Young Sports Personality of the Year. And it has been won by some pretty decent candidates. Andy Murray, Wayne Rooney and Tom Daly, past winners. So it'd be a pretty illustrious company if he did win it.
Yeah, absolutely. Best of luck to Tom then as he goes for that prestigious prize then. We'll move ahead now to take a look at some of the action on Saturday, Ollie. Really good day of racing, particularly at Cheltenham and Doncaster. These are two decent cards, as you'd expect on a Saturday.
Yeah, really good racing at Cheltenham. Very, very competitive indeed. And no more competitive than our 150 at Cheltenham, Sam, the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup.
Yeah, that's our starting point. As Ollie said, the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup coming up at 150. This is a Grade 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles, 15 of them down to take their chance in this one. And I believe you'll be getting paid out four places with us here at William Hill for this race. So plenty of each way angles in, Ollie.
You could give, you know, 9 or 10 a chance in this race. Heavily competitive. You've got to go back, obviously, to the Paddy Power. Last month's Paddy Power, won by Anna Cotty, just prevailed that day. Should run another big race, you'd have thought. Likewise, the second, third, fifth and sixth place horses are reopposing here. Bywise, who, he's a cliff horse, isn't he? Everybody loves backing him.
Yeah.
He's a gallant loser. If only he could jump Bywise, he would have won a number of big races. But 8-1, I think he went as short as 6-1 earlier in the week, back out to 8-1 here at William Hill. But he's got to jump better, Sam. I mean, he was pretty much tailed off in the Paddy Power Gold Cup a few weeks ago. And it's just his talent which got him so close to Anna Cotty. But at the price, he just doesn't jump well enough for me. So I would look past him. Sound Investment ran another great race. He, of course, won the Old Ruin at Aintree on his seasonal debut. He's got up £3 for that third in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. He, again, should run his race, but you'd like to think he's a little bit high in the handicap. Irish Cavalier, huge question marks over the form of the Rebecca Curtis team. They've had problems with the hay and the feed. She's had a horse run today at Cheltenham.
First of the month, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, the Romford Pele, who ran deplorably, fell when tailed off. So I've got to pass him over because I'd like to see Rebecca Curtis' horses in a lot better form. And Art Moresque, again, he ran well in the Paddy Power at sixth, but he needs to find a little bit more. So I'm going to go for a couple of unexposed ones here against the field. The first one being, this will be my selection, Mazel Tov for Willie Mullins. The aforementioned Willie Mullins, we talked about him earlier. The fact he's opted to run the 9-year-old in a race of this nature after such a long layoff does suggest that he's showing all the right signs at home, and he's got a very impressive record when fresh. Ruby Walsh decides to take the ride. He's 1-1-1 on him. he's got a real big engine. I mean, you go back 3 years and he beat Don Cossack in his early hurdling days. The handicap has given him a chance. So Mazel Tov would be my first selection in the race. And if I was looking at one other, I'm going to go for one who, again, is pretty unexposed, and that's Champagne West. He made up into a really smart novice chaser last season, winning twice here before falling in the Scilly Isles at Sandown when last seen. Handicap debut here could still be very well treated. So I'm going for the two unexposed ones in the field. Mazel Tov, smart novice chaser, won three times up to this trip. First going a handicap, returning from 19 months off, but Ruby Walsh is one from one off him. He's beaten Don Cossack in the past. He could well be the class act in the race. And the other one I'm going for is Champagne West, another one making its handicap debut, made up into a smart novice last season, winning twice here. So he's got course and distance form before coming a cropper in the Scilly Isles.
Okay, Champagne West and Mazel Tov then. Mazel Tov, the main selection for Ollie in the Giggingstown Stud Colours in that 150 at Cheltenham. We stay at Cheltenham for our next race then. This is the 3 o'clock, the International Hurdle. It's a grade two event, this, over 2 miles. It's just six runners line up for this, but we've got the seasonal reappearance of the mightily impressive Peace & Co, who's likely to take a large chunk out of the market, Ollie.
Yeah, and I think he's going to take all the beating, Peace & Co. Still unbeaten, four from four. For Nicky Henderson, Daryl Jacob takes the ride. Did set the early benchmark for the juvenile division at Doncaster 12 months ago and confirmed that promise when leading home his two stable mates, including Hargem, who opposes here in the Triumph Hurdle. He's going to get better ground than he got that day in the Triumph Hurdle, where it was pretty bottomless. And the way this horse pulls, that's only going to suit. I actually think he'll be a better horse in the spring. I think he's made for the likes of Aintree, but they decided to put him away after that. Obviously, Hargem went to Aintree after that, the Triumph Hurdle third. And disappointed. On official figures, he's £2 clear of Old Guard, who, of course, won the Greatwood Hurdle. But he was taking £7 off that day. He's a useful juvenile hurdler last season, Old Guard. He was ninth in the Triumph, so another one who he opposes. Certainly improved, having won the Greatwood. But he had a £7 claim on that day. He's off there. They're all off level weights tomorrow, and he's got to improve a great deal, I think, to upset Peace & Co. Semper Medici, I think, would be twice the price if he wasn't Rich Ritchie, Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Melodic Rendezvous, you'd have to say, is certainly past his best at 20-1. Hargem, pretty disappointing reappearance. I think he's going to be a lot better horse in the spring. And Cheltenian, he obviously won the Scottish County Hurdle in game fashion at Ayr in April. Wasn't disgraced in the Swinton the following month, but he's got to step up a good deal again there. So by a process of elimination, he's bound to be fit after an absence of 274 days, Peace & Co. He was a class act last year. He's going to take all the beating for me in the 3 o'clock at Cheltenham.
Ollie sticks with the Triumph Hurdle winner then, Peace & Co. in that 3 o'clock at Cheltenham. We head over to Doncaster now for our next two races. We start with their 205. This is a grade 2 juvenile hurdle over 2 miles. Six runners again line up for this one. Not a great deal of form in the book, Ollie, but what we do know is a lot of these horses have got potential.
Yeah, it's not the strongest of runners, it has to be said, for the Summit, because generally it's a pretty decent renewal. Peace & Co, the aforementioned Peace & Co, won it last year. So it's not the strongest of renewals, this one, Samuel. But Forberg, there was a huge word for this when he was well-backed in shape with plenty of promise when he was runner-up to Who Dares Wins at Ludlow recently. He did jump well, he tanked along, didn't quite get home, Sam. We know the Skeltons are a very, very shrewd outfit. They continue in excellent form, and he would be quite a strong selection in this. Obviously, he takes on Who Dares Wins here, and he's better off at the weights, gets a £4 pull for him for that penalty for winning Who Dares Wins, and I certainly would expect him to overturn the form with that one. And I do think it is a straight shootout between the front two. So Chauvelin is a once-race winner. He ran his best race on the flat back in September, and that was at Doncaster, winning well in a first-time hood on his hurdles debut at Musselburgh last month. Is open to improvement, but I just don't think he has quite the class of the first two in the market, Who Dares Wins and Thuberg. But I thought Thuberg shaped certainly the better of the two at Ludlow. He was just a little bit gassy on his hurdles debut that day. Bound to have improved for that. Gets a £4 pull from the Alan King runner, Who Dares Wins. So the selection would be Thuberg for the Skeltons.
Thuberg then for Ollie. Then the combination of Dan and Harry Skelton in that 205 at Doncaster. We move ahead to the 240 and the final race on today's podcast. This is the December Novices Chase, a grade two event over an extended 3 mile trip. Six runners go down to contest this one. What's caught the eye in this field, Ollie?
It's another pretty tricky race. Again, for the grade, it wouldn't be the greatest of standards. I thought Southfield Royale would be the selection. He quickly proved himself to be a decent chaser, as he was a hurdler, where he forged clear at Weatherby last time. He's still very much an exposed. A step up in trip should suit him. But there's many of these we could give a shout to, only the six runners, but it is fiercely competitive. Coolog for Charlie Longsden, whose horse is running a little bit better now. Brian Hughes has been in terrific form, was a useful hurdler, got off the market banger on his return, but he was disappointing when he was only third here in a handicap since. You'd have to argue, stepping back up in trip, should see a little bit more improvement, but has to step up on that disappointing third last time. Can't ignore a Paul Nicholls raid to Doncaster. Sean Bowen takes the ride on It's a Close Call. Again, a pretty useful hurdler who was left clear at the last on his chase bout at Chepstow, where arguably he was very lucky. That was where Beast of Burden looked like he was going to firmly put him in his place. But, you know, that was a fairly decent performance. I think Beast of Burden has obviously been disappointing since at Newbury, but we know that has been put down to a bad bleed and the Rebecca Curtis team in poor form. But my selection would be here, Sam, Southfield Royal for Brian Harding and the excellent Neil Mulholland. I think he could well go on to better things because he himself was a very smart hurdler. First time cheap pieces tomorrow. Could he count that little bit more? So the selection in the 2:40 at Doncaster would be Southfield Royal for Neil Mulholland and Brian Harding.
Southfield Royal then it is for Ollie in the 2:40. Just mind us please out one more time your four selections for Saturday's action.
In the 1:50 at Cheltenham, the selection is Mazel Tov with a saver on Champagne West. The 3 o'clock at Cheltenham, the nap selection would be Peace and Co. for Nicky Henderson and Daryl Jacob. The 2:05 at Doncaster, the Summit Juvenile Hurdle, the selection is Fuberg for the Skeltons. And the 2:40 at Doncaster, the December Novices Chase Grade 2, the selection is Southfield Royal for Neil Mulholland and Brian Harding.
Thank you very much. There we are, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott ahead of Saturday's action. And do remember to join us on William Hill's Racing Radio from 11:15pm on Saturday, where we've got every race covered live and in full from those two good meetings that we've previewed there at Cheltenham and Doncaster. We've also got jumping at Lingfield, action on the fibre sand at Sutherland as well in the afternoon. And don't forget that evening card over at Wolverhampton on the Tapita Tramore from across the Irish Sea as well. So plenty to get stuck into on Saturday with Gary Capewell, John Budden and James Millman. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast, Ollie, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.